welcome back to another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me as Darkness Tiger, joined here by my brother from the same mother.
Hey, what's up?
Yo.
What's going on?
Going pretty well. How's it going with you, gentlemen?
Life. And our other amazing co-host, Mr. Rad Dreams Review. Yo, how's it going? Fantastic.
Good.
Now, as you guys know, as the listeners know, before we get started, we kind of do a little bit of a quick check-in just to see what we've all been routinely up to for the last week. I'm just arbitrarily going to choose Chris, I Chameleon. What has the last week consisted of in your
game? Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so I beat a game.
That's a first.
I beat Return to Monkey Island, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It was a great time. I actually really enjoyed the game. What'd you say?
How long did it take? What was the runtime on that?
I want to say about 9 hours.
That explains it. That explains how you beat it.
I'm really bad at finishing longer games. But yes, I did beat it. I did finish it. So, overall, I had actually really good experience with the game. My only complaint is toward the end, you're doing the end stuff. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get some answers. And then it just kind of ends. Now, mind you, it's one of those games that has like a ton of endings. And I didn't feel like just loading a save and changing a few things and redoing it and stuff. So I just looked it up on YouTube.
Was it?
And still, most of the endings didn't do what I would have liked how that to have gone. It was so strange. Yes, it was a very odd ending. That's all I'll say about it because it's still a very new game. But yeah, I mean, overall, I did really like the game. Because of the ending, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. But overall, it was actually a really, really good game. It, like, if you're a fan of the first one, you should definitely play this one. Because it definitely, like, plays homage to, like, the first one. Well, the one before this. I think there was two. Yeah, I think there was two before this. But yeah, it was good. It was really good.
All right, good deal. Anything else you played this past week, or was just finishing that your main key?
Just some Call of Duty. Nothing else really. That's about it.
All right.
I almost started Mass Effect. I will say that I was a foot in the water. I was like, should I start it? I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. But then I was like, I don't want to deal with dialogue right now, so I will come back to this later.
You don't want to deal with people talking?
You know how I am, man. Sometimes I just like even just being in the car without any sound on.
That is true. My brother actually will drive to his destinations with
nothing on.
Literally nothing. I just like silence, and I just didn't want to hear your voice at that moment.
See, been so catching up on a lot of different anime. Other than that, I've been gaming, playing more of Slay the Spire. I also downloaded the new anime video game known as Gungrave Gore. That was a little disappointing, unfortunately, because to me, the game felt like I was playing, like, I would say, like, an early to mid 2000s action video game. Like, it felt a lot like Devil May Cry, but worse. Yes. No, and I love Devil May Cry, and I love Bayonetta. I love games that have that fast-paced combo system that those games do, but like with this Gungrave game, I'm a big fan of the anime, and this video game just like it had the potential, right? It had the inklings of a cool fast-paced action game like Devil May Cry, for instance, but it just didn't quite hit the mark for me. So I mean, overall, I would just say that you can avoid it. It's like probably like a 5 out of 10. Maybe a 6 if I'm being like very generous, but even then, like, no, unfortunately, wow. And I hate to say it because it looks like
really not great.
These people who made the game, you know, like the material, they respect the material. It's just the execution for me personally just wasn't quite there. So apologies to any Gungrave fans out there if you like this game. I just didn't feel like it was up to snuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that I understand it. It's just
sometimes it happens.
Like, it's like me with Horizon Zero Dawn. I just didn't get it. Like, I understand how someone could totally like that game. It just didn't hit the marks for me like it would someone else.
That was, I guess, a major game that like everybody universally loved that I also didn't care for. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Visually, it was a beautiful game, and I guarantee it was great storytelling, but I just did not enjoy playing it.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel that. I'm still hopeful one day they'll remaster that so that I can see it. I mean, like, play it.
Right.
I just never did.
Yeah, the original one, they definitely do need to be remastered, like an actual legitimate remaster, not like Last of Us.
I can't really think of anything else of note other than that.
But no, I get that. I get that. Mace, anything else in your world you wish to talk about before we move over? Okay. Well, I'm currently in Brazil. I think this is actually my last trip here in Brazil before I move on to my next destination. At this current moment, the destination is unknown, but I know I'll be going on vacation to a very, very cool place. So we will see.
Yeah, no problem. Happy birthday.
I came to Brazil. I would like to thank Mason because
he
provided us, both Chris and I, with Xbox gift cards. So thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Thank you. And appreciate it.
Thank you. And your birthday is this upcoming Saturday. So if you are going to be
What'd you get?
To this podcast on Friday, be sure to send at Rad Dreams Review a happy birthday. You're welcome. Anytime. But I've already used your gift card. Well, on the Black Friday special, I just happened to hop onto the Xbox storefront to just kind of see what was available.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew I wanted to download something else in case I finished Pentiment in time. And as I was looking through, only one game just kind of came to me that I have yet to play that I really need to play. Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I finally bought it. I finally downloaded it. Just waiting to boot it up.
Yes. I'm a big fan since launch. I know that it had its launch troubles, but on the Series X, it was not. It was,
really?
There was definitely bugs, but not that bad. And it's my favorite RPG. I will say that. Hands down.
Without a doubt. That's a pretty big comment right there.
It's mine. I don't expect that to be anyone else's. Like, I could totally see others liking plenty of. There's been so many RPGs that have come out, but for this one hit the marks of what I like.
That's real.
Oh, well, yeah, 100%. Like,
outside of your,
when that anime dropped and
it,
just
Chris,
became a sensation, I want to say, like, user population and user playability of the game itself jumped up, I think, to almost 200%. Like, it was absolutely insane, like, how much that anime gave new life to the game. Yeah, honestly, it was because, like, as much as we kind of shit on CD Projekt Red initially, they did improve.
It was good.
They
did fix too, it
because they had just and they fixed a the game time. Does deserve a second chance, and it deserves to be played and experienced.
It was well deserved.
They did. I agree.
Yep. So I'm going to be getting an opportunity to most likely play that this weekend, as I have absolutely, well, that's not true. I was about to say I have zero plans, but part of me still wants to go to the ocean, just hang out on the beach for a while for this weekend. But if I don't do that, most likely we'll be booting up Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, how do you like it?
I've been working my way through Pentiment. I'm currently on Act 3, which I believe to be the final act, but I could be wrong. This game definitely
feels yeah, that's understandable.
Than I thought it was going to be. Still fun, still very addictive, but... Oh, I still like it. It's a lot of fun. It's very addictive. I just wasn't expecting it to last this long.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly love it. I went on to Metacritic. I actually gave it if it's a 5 out of 5, I give it a 5 out of 5. If it's a 10 out of 10, I gave it a 10 out of 10. So I gave it a perfect score because once you break down as to what the game actually is, it's just text-based roleplay. And I thoroughly appreciate a different level of gaming. So I'm going to always praise highly. Now, normally, I never buy more than one game a month because, like, I don't have time to get through that. I did not buy this game, but we were just talking about it. Right before I hopped on this podcast, I was actually playing Need for Speed Unbound.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say something else there for a second.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am 100% a Need for Speed stan. And this game is not going to change my opinion. I think it is excellent. I think the voice acting is hella cheesy, but that's for a Need for Speed game.
Yep.
But while we were getting ready to start, I did kind of read some of the comments. And they're like, oh, this one is so different. It's so much better. And I'm playing it, and I'm like, this is exactly – it's a Need for Speed, just with different physics.
Yeah.
Like, literally physics. But I'm like, literally, the locations are the same. The car roster hasn't changed all that much. And I'm like, I think I prefer the physics and Need for Speed Heat. But I only played this one for about an hour. So I'll have a full review for you guys on the next episode. But right now, I'm going to tell you very positive reactions.
Awesome. I mean, like... For me,
I think that was the last one I played was Most Wanted.
Me and Devin were kids. Like, Hot Pursuit I'm talking baby. Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, baby. And Need for like Speed, like Most Wanted. Like those old ones. Oh, yeah. Most Wanted, man. That cop in like robbers like deal going on. That shit was awesome. Yeah.
I do remember one of my like favorite like childhood gaming memories with Chris and my oldest brother Rashad. We were playing Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, and I was clearly in the lead, far and away, sealed victory. And out of nowhere, a spike strip hits me. I get my tires pop, and I slam right into a tree, and both of them drive right past me. One of my favorite racing video game memories with my siblings.
Oh, man.
But let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's get into our very unfortunately. First story. And unfortunately, Nintendo is going to be leading us into this, but one with a positive story.
So as we know, and as we talked about before on the podcast, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet have released almost like seemingly incomplete, right? Like there's a lot of performance issues, a lot of bugs, graphical inconsistencies, audio issues. I mean, you name it, this game had it in terms of problems. And the game's been out for roughly 2 weeks now, if I'm not mistaken. And Nintendo has responded to fan criticisms as well as, you know, critic complaints. Saying, quote, that, you know, we take feedback from players seriously and will continue to work on improvements to the games. And this is good because they have released an update for the game, which is version 1.1.0. This patch that was released includes a season one of ranked battles, which is really cool, if you ask me. Then the other issue that was fixed was apparently there was an issue with the music not being able to play correctly during battles with the Elite Four, as well as the top champion on Victory Road, and then other bug fixes have been made. This is the first patch, right? And there's going to be a secondary patch estimated to release roughly mid-December range that will, you know, further improve upon these inconsistencies. So it does sound like, you know, Nintendo's taking this very seriously and they want to, you know, do right by the fans. So, you know, kudos for them for this. I did too, because I think we actually talked about that, saying that, yeah, oh, you know, Pokemon won't do anything. They got their money. So they got their bag. Actually didn't They're going to just run.
Nintendo would say anything.
This is the this is their most most sold game. Yeah, that, honestly, right. I thought that too, because Pokemon historically has not been super responsive to fan criticism.
So, like, I thought they were, we all thought they were just going to take the money and run. They, like, you know. Not at all. Like, Nintendo is just, and so this is Game Freak, but Nintendo, we're talking about Nintendo as a whole here, because I kind of consider Game Freak a part of them. Like, even though they're technically not their partner, but like Nintendo, like, collectively just usually ignores fans. They ignore fan requests. Like for example, they've been asking for, fans have been asking for like specific Zelda games for years, and Nintendo always makes the one that no one asked for, like Skyward Sword. They remade that one that no one asked for it. It's just so, like, I was like, well, they're just gonna just not say anything, and they're just gonna just move on to the next game, because that's what they like. That's what I just figured they would do. Like, they feel to me like they have that very Apple-esque moxie to them, where they feel like they're untouchable and I'm above you, I'm going to do what I want kind of deal. Like, that's how I've always felt Nintendo is.
But just kind of like Apple, and we can actually point out a couple different companies in the same regard. Specifically, Tesla comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
The people who buy Apple iPhones, Teslas, or Nintendos, they refuse, absolutely refuse to criticize.
They'll blame the Dinglebergs.
Bro, their door handle could be coming off. And they won't say a word. They'll be like, no, this is fine.
Yeah, blame their neighbor. But because people... Dinkleberg.
One of the biggest criticisms that they've failed to really recognize,
Nintendo,
looking towards the Pokemon franchise as a whole, is they have never really innovated. Because when it comes to the game, they always release like the same like cookie cutter format, and they release the same game like three times. Obviously with like Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, right? It's the same game three times, just with different Pokemon, right? And they've done this historically they'll be like, oh, this is version blah and blah, and then we'll release a third version that's both of them combined. Granted, Pokemon Platinum and Pokemon Emerald and Pokemon Crystal are arguably the best games in the franchise that did this. The fact of the matter is, you know, they're milking, right? They're milking money.
For sure.
Yeah.
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 Without a doubt.
It's funny that you say that, because if somebody actually asked I was having a discussion with someone. And the conversation came into the best mm-hmm. Pokemon games of all time, right? And I don't have a Nintendo Switch, so I don't really have the opportunity to go out and rush out and buy every single
really?
Pokemon game that comes out.
That's kind of shocking, because that is heralded as one of the best.
Let me just find out specifically what are the top Pokemon games. I'll tell you right now, Pokemon Emerald is usually at the bottom.
Yeah, but what it did is it combined the two and added a lot of really cool features.
Ranked is not the best. It's like usually at the bottom. It didn't make much of a difference between Sapphire and Ruby.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then you get the final version. Really, I was gonna guess like Pokemon Black and White 2 or something.
These two are gonna come out at the same time, and then it's gonna come out. Yeah,
I disagree with that heavily.
The number one rank was Pokemon X and Y, followed by Sun and Moon, followed by Black and White, then Heart, Gold, and Silver, Diamond.
Yes, those are good.
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which I don't even remember this one. Followed by Platinum. Then I did not realize
where was this list? Like, I heavily disagree with that list. Really?
Ruby and Sapphire.
That is shocking to me.
And then Scarlet. I am like, so we're just remaking
the
same game, huh?
That is so shocking to me, because like, I'm pretty well in touch with like the Pokemon community.
Yeah.
And
oh no.
I've never heard this take by the community itself. Like they've always said like, hey, you know, Platinum is like up there, Emerald's up there. Like when you go to Twitch and see like Pokemon categories, maybe not nowadays, but prior to like Sword and Shield or like Scarlet Violet, the best and most streamed categories for Pokemon were like Pokemon Emerald, Pokemon Platinum, Black and White 2, because, you know, Nuzlockes are insanely popular, and those Pokemon games were the, you know, go-to sources. So, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Pokemon Crystal was my favorite as well. I mean, honestly, like that, it seriously revolutionized the game franchise. It did.
Mine as well.
OG.
Oh, wow. All three of us. Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so cool. It was so good. Like, and my second favorite, it probably, like, now mind you, I haven't played that many Pokemon. Like, I played them when I was a kid, so I played older ones.
Yellow was legit. Like,
Crystal's actually the last Pokemon I really heavily remember playing.
And like the fact that they bring that mechanic back in other favorites, newer games is super cool.
Like, about as old as it gets, Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I just really liked walking around with Pikachu. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if you guys are currently playing
Pokemon
game, you experience
it, once the second patch rolls out, and if it does, you know, improve the condition and playing experience of the game, I'll be more motivated to check it out. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. I am actually interested in buying
Scarlet and Violet
game, because like I said, I haven't played one in like really long time. So
But they broke that pattern.
So you're
with
saying
Sword
that
and
there's
Shield.
Gonna be whatever.
So what they did with Sword and Shield
right now,
is that game dropped or game
Scarlet and Violet.
Rather,
so there's gonna be
and
a
then
third
they released DLC.
Generally there's
and then
third
Pokemon
one
then Arceus dropped. And then after Arceus, obviously Scarlet Violet dropped. So what I think will happen with Scarlet Violet is they will not release a third version of the game that like combines the two. I think they'll do DLC. Because that seems to be the formula for them moving forward with the DLC. Granted, with the DLC with Sword and Shield, it was well-received, well-liked, and it went relatively good, not only for the company, but for players. So they're definitely stepping in a good direction, I think, with the franchise. So I do think once this next patch drops for the Scarlet Violet, I think you could be safe in picking either one of them up, Chris.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. With Nintendo in general.
Okay.
Yes. Awesome.
All right. So we mentioned how we're going to be talking a little. Our lead stories have to do with Pokemon. Or
yes. Not
Pokemon, Nintendo. One being positive, and that was the positive story. The Scarlet and Violet is getting patched. And now we're going to talk about the negative. Chris, do you want to bring us the story?
Oh, oh, Nintendo.
Okay.
So basically, there's this Smash Bros. Tournament.
Yes, the company that was doing this.
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
What's the name?
This is something that's
they actually have a name.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what the actual name of this is. Like something. Yeah. Video Game Bootcamp. Thank you. They were the ones that have been doing this for years.
Video Game Bootcamp?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
And so...
And this situation is very complicated, and it has
Nintendo
a lot of moving
out of
parts.
Out of nowhere. Hit this company basically with a
not
cease
even,
and desist.
I kind of understand the complexity of this and why Nintendo shut down the biggest esports event ever in terms of fighting game history. I do too. There are a lot of theories going around right now, especially regarding the second company involved, known as Panda Group.
I have my
Like, what the fuck kind of name is that? Or is it Panda Global?
Panda Global. Yeah, and I think that because, as Chris mentioned, this has kind of been like a thing that's been happening for years.
They've never had their blessing.
The, Video Game Bootcamp has been doing the Smash World Tournament series for pretty much a long time. They haven't really had Nintendo's real, like, they haven't necessarily had their support, but they've never been, they never had their blessing, but Nintendo kind of just allowed it to happen. Well, I believe it was last year. Nintendo
no so a lot of it stems from like the whole like licensing thing
kind of do all of their Super Smash Brother events, because I think the problem was Nintendo was not making any money from this.
No, not even with a 10-foot pole. Like they'll cease and desist people making freaking fan art and putting it on sticky notes, which is they've done that.
You cannot touch
it. Like literally, they have done that on like Etsy, on other sites that where artists do their own artwork and try to sell it. Like they'll use like characters from Nintendo properties as inspiration, and then Nintendo will catch wind of it. Oh, you made $5? Well, fuck you. Here's the ban hammer.
It's crazy.
If you want to get something taken down offline, draw a picture of Mario and Mickey Mouse and put Beyonce music behind it. It will be snatched off the internet.
Even like with Pokemon, like a lot of streamers like to stream Pokemon, and I'd be terrified.
I don't even like when I like stream, I would never feel comfortable even streaming their stuff.
The devil wears a mustache and he's a plumber.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, right.
I know.
No,
I know
what's
the
sad about this esports event, right?
It's in red.
The Smash community is one of the more passionate communities out there when it comes to fighting games.
And
they're a large community. And all they want is a seat at the table, right? And they deserve a seat at the table because it's one of the most popular fighting games. But for some reason, I don't know why, whether it be political reasons or public relations reasons, I don't know. I'm not Nintendo. They do not support an esport scene in regards to Smash, and I don't get it. Mm-hmm.
It would be very lucrative.
When I was reading into this, and Chris, you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly. And a lot of literally could be like these tournaments are done a lot by grassroots campaigns. Like a lot of individuals take it upon themselves to host their own tournaments or run tournaments. Like when Smash got banned from Evo, like that was devastating. So, like, and this sets a dangerous precedent, in my opinion, by them just shutting down video game boot camps like Smash World Tour, because it almost seems like, let's say, an individual wants to do their own Smash event, Smash tournament. What's to stop Nintendo from going to that individual and dropping that cease and desist on them? Nothing. Nothing stopping them. Like, it's insane. It is literally insane to me. Like, one of the best players in Smash, he goes by the name of Hungrybox.
Nothing.
He is just arguably the best, no joke, Jigglypuff player. And he hosts his own, like, Smash tournament because he knows, like, if, you know, Nintendo's not going to do it. He might as well do it himself. So nothing's stopping Nintendo from going to this pro player and saying, yo, Hungrybox, we don't like you hosting these tournaments. Shut them down or else.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it shows a strong disconnect with the community.
Right. It's absolutely bonkers the way they behave.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Well,
I will say that since this was announced that the Smash World
tournament they should, because is not going to be happening, Nintendo needs to be sent a message. Whether or not they listen to it, who knows?
They're actually boycotting Smash Bros. Right now.
Yes, I do. It was with both prize pools combined. So there was a prize pool for Melee, and there was a prize pool for Ultimate, right?
It was
they both combined for $500,000. Nintendo shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is crazy. And Nintendo shut that down. And now all those people that were going to have fun,
and going to the event,
participating, they had like the event planners had to cancel everything last minute and lost a shit ton of money with that. Yep. Like it is a complete shit show.
You want to know something that's fucked up too? Well, two things that are fucked up.
I was like, if you're Nintendo,
part of my language,
at least
they made this announcement a day before Thanksgiving.
Listen, dude, this is your last one.
And
like, you know what I mean?
They did it 2 weeks before the event.
Nuts. Yep.
Well, Nintendo is based in Japan, so
yep.
I can't really fault them for the Thanksgiving thing.
They are like Big Brother.
2 weeks before the event, because I guarantee Nintendo knows about every single event that goes on, even if it's at a local GameStop. Nintendo has a representative who knows.
They really are.
That doesn't make it right.
To the comments of, when hearing people's thoughts on this, some people kind of, a lot of people have like this the same mind. They were like, yeah, Nintendo, it is your IP and you can technically do this. That does not mean
they tried. Should. They tried to get the licensing. Yeah. They applied for the licensing in April. Like,
the video game boot camp did not get the licensing, even though they probably could have.
April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, so yeah, long fucking time in advance.
Yeah, but apparently they needed to apply sooner than that.
Yeah, apparently. Well, they needed to apply when fucking Smash Bros. Came out for the N64. Yeah, yes, right?
They needed to apply in 1993. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Before it was even made. They should have applied before it was made. So, obviously, guys, keep your eye on this. If you feel compelled...
Go ahead.
Boycott Super Smash Brothers. If you feel compelled to send Nintendo a strongly worded letter, let your voice be heard on social media. Feel free to look into the story because it's... No, feel free to look into the story because, like, this does raise a lot of questions about what a company can and cannot do and what a company should and should not do. Go ahead, Mason. But okay, moving on from that particular story, let's change pace here. Chris, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. So one of my favorite things that I own as a device, and one of my favorite gifts to give people around the holiday season, is the little Alexa's, like little Alexa, the Echo Dots, the little, just the Amazon speaker thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great because whenever I'm just walking around the house, I can tell my Alexa, hey, turn on the lights. I can tell Alexa, hey, play some music. Hey, set an alarm. It has been very useful device for me and for millions of people across the United States and in Canada and Mexico. It would be considered a success, right? Well, apparently it's a success to everyone except for Amazon. And let me bring you this story coming from Business Insider. Amazon thought Alexa would be the next iPhone. It turns out it's a glorified clock radio. So what basically it started out was Jeff Bezos' project of this voice assistant was basically blew up. It became this like international thing. It was everywhere. They kind of sold it at a loss, but they sold way more units than they expected. And it was really an opportunity for Amazon to get into the software as well as hardware game.
Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
And they really wanted to take the market to like, I don't want to say her name because she's on my iPhone. She's sitting next to me, but her name rhymes with Beery. And it was a way for Amazon to kind of get themselves in the market. When the Echo Dot debuted in 2014, it was the company's first real success as a hardware manufacturer. Early versions of voice assistants existed as far back as the early aughts, and Siri debuted in the iPhone in 2011. But Amazon Echo spawned an entirely new class of gadget, the smart speaker. The standalone voice assistant was immediately useful, and by 2018, the company sold more than 100 million Alexa-enabled devices. Amazon sold the Echo device at a cost to induce people to buy things from the site, but the problem was the smart speaker never became the significant sales driver the company had hoped. And here's why. Have either of you ever used an Alexa?
I personally have not.
Well, I have, and I'll tell you right now, I have never bought anything from Alexa in the same way I've never bought anything from Siri. And the reason being, why would I do that?
Yeah, because you, like, sure, you could do that.
I could.
But, like, who's buying stuff blind? Like,
yeah, right?
And that was
it just seems stupid.
And that's the problem. Amazon realized, we just spent all of this money developing this really great voice assistant, and that's all it is. It's a voice assistant. And guess how much Amazon is set to lose this year because of Alexa?
How much?
$10 billion.
Oh my God.
And which is going to be the cause of about 10,000 possible layoffs from the Alexa division, because Amazon has found that there is not a single way in which they can make money, continuous money off Alexa. Because once you buy an Alexa Dot right now, which is $15, that is it. You have Alexa for life.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
And one thing I'll tell you, I've never had to replace my Alexa product. It always works. It's actually reliable. And Amazon is thinking about, how do we figure out a way to make money off of this? And as of right now, there is no way to make money, because if you wish to use an Alexa, you do not need to have an Amazon Prime account to do so. You just need to plug it into the wall and connect it to Wi-Fi. And that's it.
That I did not know, actually.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
You do not need to have an Amazon Prime account. All you need to do is just plug it into the wall and just connect it to Wi-Fi. Huh. And that's why I get it as gifts, because for $15-$20, you get a voice assistant that tells you the news, tells you the weather, plays music, tells you jokes for $15. And apparently a lot of people who buy these also realize this. And now that Jeff Bezos is no longer the CEO, they're thinking that Alexa may be on the chopping block. But as this article goes on, it kind of talks about voice assistants themselves, and that Alexa is not the only one that's on the chopping block, because what other competitor, what other voice assistant have you not heard from in a very long time?
Siri.
Well, you hear from Siri, but you haven't heard from Cortana, Microsoft. Oh.
No, I've never heard anything from Cortana.
And I didn't know Samsung had one called the Bixby.
Oh my God, just got a Samsung phone. Yes. I was like, what the fuck is Bixby? I like clicked the button. I was like, what the fuck is Bixby? It was like asking me that to sounds, do stuff. I'm like,
That sounds like a name of like a evil CEO. Like, a name's Bixby.
Bixby Jones, see?
Come on, Bixby.
I'm going to steal all your money.
He's got a monocle and a top hat.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Scrooge McDuck. He's like, I'm going to dive in my pool of gold coins.
Well, that's the problem. These voice assistants don't make money, because there's no,
they do not make coin.
They do not, because there's no subscription service to use them. And most people are not using like your voice assistants to buy anything. Have you guys ever used a voice assistant to buy anything without looking at it?
No.
Never. Never. That seems really dumb.
That seems risky. Because you're praying that this thing understood exactly what you wanted to order,
yep. And
without seeing it. Now, mind you, like I could, the only way that I actually could see this that being like successful, the dots and all these voices, mm-hmm. when they have the little like tablet with it, you know, I've okay. been seeing that pop up more. And if I say to the product that I want and I see it pop up on the screen, okay, I have confirmed that's yes, the right thing. But it, still, am I going to do that? Hell no. Absolutely not.
Well, even if it pops up, you're still going to be buying it from the website.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I could have done the same thing on my phone probably quicker.
And I don't know about you guys, but I search on Amazon religiously. That is my red flag and my toxic trait, is I am consistently on Amazon when I have absolutely zero intention of buying anything.
It seems to me like if you buy something via like voice assistant, like Alexa, Google, Siri, etc., it's almost like you're playing a gotcha game. Like you're opening up a loot box. You know, you never know what you're gonna get.
That website wish.com.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. I love watching those videos on fucking like YouTube where it's just like. Where they're like, let's go to wish.com and see what they have.
Oh, yeah. Austin Evans is my favorite. He does them all the time. He's a goofball.
It's so funny. Like, they'll be like, hey, let's go to wish.com and you tell me what I can buy. It's fucking hilarious.
Guys, but whenever I look up anything, especially anything on Amazon, I automatically have to go to the reviews and I have to read every single review before I commit to it. Even if it's a toothbrush, Like not yes. an electric toothbrush, like a dollar one. I have to read the reviews on this.
What, it's funny that you bring up the review aspect of Amazon. I'll have to send you guys this after we were done recording the podcast. But my wife, Jackie, discovered one of the most insane and best reviews of all time on Amazon. And it's for a coffee.
Okay. We'll talk about this after the episode.
You got to see the...
Yeah, I've got to get with her, and she'll have to send it to me so I can send it to you guys. It is absolute gold.
Okay.
It motivated her to buy the coffee.
That is so funny.
Wow.
Before we move from the story, I think my favorite thing to do on Amazon when it comes to reviews is just go to a product that is like an incredibly simple product and it's like easy to use and just go straight to the reviews.
go ahead.
This is where my faith in society automatically falls apart.
I love going to those reviews because people do such funny things. Like a buddy of mine was telling me about like inflatable hot tubs. I was like, what the fuck is an inflatable hot tub? So I actually looked it up. I went on this site. This dude took a picture of him in the hot tub, put it on the Amazon thing. I was like, bro, you and your girlfriend or wife or whoever the hell that was, you just posted it right on Amazon, like it's fucking Instagram or Facebook or something. It was just comical.
Honey Badger doesn't care. But one of the ones that I looked up, because I don't know why I looked this up, but I did, on Amazon was bidets.
Oh God.
And when you go to the reviews on bidets, boy, do people have opinions. People, I bet.
Like,
this hurts. it shot me in the face.
What is your face doing there?
That's the same thing. I'm sitting, I'm like, I don't know how you guys managed to have this happen. Some lady was like, I have first and second degree burns up there because of this product.
What
did they do?
What are they doing with this product?
Like, did you hook this up to your shower?
Did you hook it up to the hot water line?
I'm terrified because now that I'm sitting here having this conversation, I really want to look at the reviews on toilet paper.
Oh, God.
Look up the reviews for Hasbro's sugar-free gummy bears.
Oh, God. I don't want to know.
Why is that? Are they good or bad?
The absolute greatest reviews you'll ever read in your entire life. Like, spoiler alert, those are banned. So just go ahead and just look them up. It is so funny.
All right. Well, I'm going to do this real quick before we move on to the next story. I don't think this is going to be. Well, nope. Scratch that. Let's see. I don't think this is going to be possible. But no, it's going to be possible.
Oh yeah, they're still there.
Okay. Let me go down to the reviews. Let me just go to the first review. Oh great, my phone's almost dead. That's cool. So yeah, I'm sure this is great listener content for the listeners. Once you get into this, you really get into it. Everything you heard about sugar-free gummy bears is real. I bought this as a fun prank to try to get all my friends to eat the sugar-free gummy bears because we all heard the stories. Anyway, for science, I decided to eat it to see how good the prank would be on my own. I was working late and was delivered that afternoon, and a midnight snack sounded great. I don't know who eats gummy bears at midnight, but okay.
Me.
So I'm sitting at my desk and pounding the first package down, and I wait. Nothing happens that night, and I don't feel anything. When I wake up, I've been a little extra gassy, but I'm a gassy dude, so don't think too much of it. So I get to work and start to think that the reputation of sugar-free gummy bears was a lie, since it's been 8 hours since I ate them originally and nothing happened. So thinking the prank is a bust, I ate a second package because gummy bears are great, especially Albanese gummy bears. Then the farts hits. Then these are the parts you say, excuse me, and everyone made giggles and moves on with their lives. They aren't even the SPDs. These are the movers and shakers of farts. My office smell like these farts. And I'm trying air fresheners and kettles every day. I feel like I'm sitting in my own smelly butt. Then in the middle of a meeting, my butt gives me the tingle. Like
Spider-Man
thrown at him. My butt sends the flow of an unstoppable river. I turned off my camera in the sentence and muted my mic and barely made it to the toilet before the entire history of everything I've ever eaten began rolling out of my toilet.
Jesus.
I spent all of that meeting and the next meeting optimizing my route from my office to the bathroom. When no more was coming out, I began to think it might end soon. But soon my underwear learned why you never trust the fart. Since this moment, I began to hold a no-shrink.
Oh, God.
Conclusion, trust all the stories you've heard and read about sugar-free gummy bears. All right.
That there is hysterical.
Several hundreds of them like that.
Oh, just God.
Absolutely comical.
All right, that's funny. Before we get to one of our final topics that'll have to do with movie trailers, let's just jump over to Sony real quick to get this story out the way. And there was a competition held on IGN as to who the best PlayStation character was. Chris, who would you say the best PlayStation character was in your opinion?
I really like the duo Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
Which is a very fair pick.
Mason, who would you say was your PlayStation character?
For me, I have always liked and gravitated more towards Solid Snake.
Okay, well, that's very fair. Both of those people were on the list. Solid Snake was actually number 4. And Chris, you said Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank was number 9.
Oh, nice. Where was Crash Bandicoot? Oh,
Crash Bandicoot. I don't think Crash Bandicoot. I'll tell you right now. Oh, Crash Bandicoot was number 11.
Okay, what about Spyro?
Let's scroll on down here. We're past the top 20. Spyro 21.
Oh.
Wow. He's so far.
What was number... I mean, before you revealed number 1, who was number 2?
Number 2. I think you guys could guess who number 2 was. Number 2 was Nathan Drake.
Really?
That actually... Okay.
I don't think...
What about, okay, what about number 3? I don't
think you guys would guess number 3.
Jack and Daxter.
Nope.
Damn.
I have no idea. I literally said, you're not going to guess this, and you immediately guessed Jack and Daxter. No. Jack and Daxter, hold on, because now that kind of pissed me off. Where does Jack and Daxter sit on this list?
They're probably not even the top 10, even though they should
right.
be.
They are definitely not in the top 10. I can confirm that to you.
That's
right
crazy.
Now.
That's nutty. Like, how are... That's such an iconic duo.
Exactly. So, like, for me, it's Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter. And well, then you know who.
All right, so who was number 3?
Daxter was 40 and Jack was 41.
Wow.
Get out of here. Go home.
here's how bad that was. CJ from San Andreas was 35.
Who?
What?
Carl from San Andreas. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm like, that's multi-platform, bro. Like, you know, that's awful.
Jesus.
What was he on the list?
I don't know.
The actual exclusive is ranked lower. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's nutty.
Yeah. But no, number 3 was actually Joel from The Last of Us.
Go home. I'm done with this list.
Recency bias is what this list is, especially when you reveal who number 1 is.
I'll give you guys the top 5. So I'll just start at number 2. Number 2 is Nathan Drake. Number 3 was Joel Miller from The Last of Us. Number 4 was Solid Snake, naturally. And number 5 was Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay, I respect. All right, so I respect the Spider-Man pick.
Yes, I agree. I agree that Spider-Man deserves to be there.
Because growing up, playing the Spider-Man games for the PlayStation was hype.
Absolutely.
Huge.
But number 1, as Mason just mentioned, is recency bias goes to Kratos.
Yes. And, all right, so I agree that Kratos deserves to be in the top 10.
Yes, without a doubt.
I don't think he deserves to be number 1.
I don't know.
I mean, he's iconic, but
yes,
I don't know.
So here's my thing, with Kratos being number 1. They're only looking at his most recent track record. They're looking at
they're looking at God of War that is set in the Norse universe, and they're looking at Ragnarok.
Yes. They're not looking at the old games, which is hack and slash, because
no, they're not looking at 1, 2, 3 Chains of Olympus.
They're not looking at PlayStation as a whole.
Exactly. No. Exactly. So you, for me, like there's history. You can't just Just jump. Okay, well, this guy is most recently the most, like, the best series right now. So, like, you know, we're just going to take him. No, it doesn't work that way.
I'm honestly curious, because before this became multi-platform, I would argue that Sora from Kingdom Hearts is very iconic as a PlayStation character.
Absolutely.
I don't think Sora's even in the top 10.
And that's nuts to me.
Wow. That's a travesty.
Probably below Carl.
Do you want to place that bet, Chris?
No, but you know, Jagged Daxter's below Carl.
That is accurate. That is accurate.
That ruined me. That's bad.
That's a bad take.
Yeah, I you guys gave who you guys think would be number one. I gave my take, but I didn't tell the listeners. I said the cat from Stray should have been number one.
Get out of here.
Based off this list, because I'm scrolling this, I'm scrolling this list, I'm like, wow, this list blows.
Oh yeah, I mean, IGN in general, like, their lists and how they review games is just kind of trash.
You gotta
general.
Send me this.
No
list.
Offense.
Yeah, I'll drop it.
Yeah. Drop it in the chat or drop it in our group chat because I'm curious.
I'll drop it in the group chat so you guys can go through all like 110 people.
I will, and I will critique it.
Yeah, feel free. And before we move on, I'll just give you the top 10. So I've already given you the top 5. Number 6 was Lara Croft.
Okay. I respect
number 7
that.
Number 7 was Cloud Strife.
Okay.
Okay.
I do respect that. Yes, Final Fantasy. It, very iconic. Cloud is the fanboy favorite.
Yep. Number 8 was Ellie Williams from The Last of Us. Number 9 was Ratchet. And number 10 was Jin Saki from Ghost of Tsushima. Which
really?
Which super.
What?
Yeah, one game. Yeah, one game what? And cracked the top 10.
And that's
okay.
It. And how? That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Jesus, that's literally insane to me. Not Sephiroth or another Final Fantasy character?
Sephiroth
okay.
is 10 times more iconic than he'll ever be. And that's nothing against that character. That is insane. That is absolutely bonkers.
Like, literally, the Sephiroth theme song.
Oh, my God.
Like, come the fuck on.
Let me see where Sephiroth was number 16.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sephiroth was after Leon Kennedy.
Bro, Sephiroth is, like, top 5. Like,
you're going to hate this one, Chris. Sephiroth was worse than Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
What?
So stupid.
All right, so like this list is literally triggering.
Well, if you think this part of the list is triggering, why did Spider-Man Peter Parker get number 5 but Miles Morales got number 19?
Oh my God. You're kidding me, right?
Yep, kid you not. Victor Sully Sullivan beat out Spyro and Clank.
What?
Yeah, the side character of Uncharted.
Why? You know what? I bet the fans were just trolling.
If the fans are trolling, the cat from Stray would have won. But let's move on.
All right,
so we're going to run through these next ones real quick. Basically, for the last, a lot came out today. But for the last couple of days, there's been some new movie trailers.
Yes.
Let's just go ahead and just kind of talk about them real quick segments. There was a new Super Mario Brothers trailer. And I have to say, this trailer makes me more excited to go see this movie.
Same.
It makes me less excited to hear Chris Pratt's voice.
Same.
And I had absolutely zero desire to see any more trailers after that.
I agree.
Big same.
I feel like if I saw any more trailers, I'm going to watch the whole movie. We're done.
Yeah. A lot of these trailers for films nowadays reveal too much.
Absolutely agree. That's that. We have a new Transformers Rise of the Beast trailer.
Hell yeah. I am so hyped for this.
Me too.
I was not expecting this. I just saw that it was posted and like 10 minutes ago. I clicked on it and I immediately shared it to you guys. This trailer looked hype.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm so hyped and why a lot of people are very hype about this new film is because it draws inspiration from the cult classic cartoon Transformers Beast Wars. nowadays, if you watch the show, it has not aged well, unfortunately. But during the time in which it was released, it was, you know, pretty revolutionary in terms of like animation. It was very similar, very similar in regards to the animation show Reboot, if you remember that one. So this was in the mid-90s, 1996, to be specific. And it was just very, very popular. Like, Megatron was a fucking T-Rex, boys. Like that's fucking cool.
I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this one. But it looks, if you haven't seen the trailer, definitely go out and check it out.
Yeah, highly recommend watching the trailer. Super, super, super cool. And
it's got an amazing cast.
Yeah, it does. And then there's, like you said, Pete Davidson.
Amazing cast and Pete Davidson. So we're super excited to watch.
Yeah, and real quick before we move on, huge shout out to Joe DiMaggio for landing a part. Yeah,
did you know which part he's actually going to be doing? He's going to be voicing Stratosphere.
Really? That's actually super hype. That's a big role.
Absolutely, is a big role. That is not going to be just 15 lines of dialogue.
No, good for him. Congratulations, dude. Like, seriously, voice actors don't get a lot of support in Hollywood, and the fact that he's getting it is phenomenal. All
right, so let's move over to the next trailer, and that was the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Did you both watch this?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say meh. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. You know,
it looks fun. It'll probably have its moments. Yeah. Batista's always a saving grace.
Well, my thing is, yeah, Batista looks like he's going to be the comedy relief, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just didn't look that exciting to me. And then as I'm sitting there watching this trailer, all I could think about was, is Adam Warlock going to be in this or not?
Yes, he is. Okay,
because I'm sitting there, I'm like,
yeah, he's in. I just don't know how much screen time he'll have.
I hope he's got enough screen time because I am so sick and tired of Christopher Pratt. Like, the second I saw him on screen, I'm like, ugh.
It's just, I don't know. He's overstaying his welcome as an actor, it seems. He needs
to take a break, retire for a couple years, come back strong as ever. And speaking of an actor who needs to take a break and retire,
Harrison
Ford. The Indiana Jones 5 trailer released. And I was not the biggest Indiana Jones fan. I've seen parts of the first one. I've seen all of the fourth one. My mistake. And this Indiana Jones seems to be leading a lot into nostalgia. Which?
Yeah.
When you're 5 in the movie series, what else is there to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I feel like they should have left it with Crystal Skull because that was kind of like the nail in the coffin for me. The first three Indiana Jones were good. First two were the best. I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark arguably is the best in my eyes.
Yeah, it looks, I don't know. For me, it looks like a good film. I'm not that much of a critic, though. I just yeah. Like, I don't know, TV entertainment.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I like seeing I like the characters, of course, and just be like it's very, like you said, nostalgic for me. So
yeah,
I will probably watch it. Definitely not in a theater or anything. I'll probably rent it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But before we go, I have not mentioned this to you guys. But did either of you guys see how much money the new Pandora movie needs, the new Avatar movie, Avatar and the Pandora World?
I heard that it needs to break some sort of record in order to make a profit. Well,
how much money do you think it needs to make just to break even?
Billions.
I mean, not billions. I remember seeing the figure, and I'm trying to recall. Is it like 500 million?
Well, James Cameron went on record and said that that it needs to make more than $2 billion of global box office just to break even.
Billion? Yes. $2 billion? Which
means that it needs to be the highest grossing film ever by a large margin.
Jesus, $2
billion?
Bro, he going to flop. That ain't happening this year, this day and age.
$2 billion? 2 billion?
Yes.
Holy shit.
So
that's insane.
So let me just tell you what the highest grossing movie of all time was.
Well, it was Avatar 1, yes, right?
And the lifetime gross was what?
I don't know.
Nope. Surprisingly, the lifetime gross was just shy of 3 billion.
Hey, congratulations. Followed
by Avatar Endgame at 2.7 billion.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Avengers Endgame, my
oh, yeah. You said Avatar. Okay.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yes. I was still reading.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Followed by Titanic at 2.2 billion. Followed by Star Wars, yep, Episode 7, The Force Awakens at 2.06 billion. So with,
well, yeah, fun fact, Titanic was also made by, yes, James Cameron.
And so was Avatar.
Yep.
So it is possible. Let's not get that part twisted. It is possible.
Yeah. So you're saying that there's a chance.
The problem is, these were all pre-pandemic numbers.
Yeah.
These were when, like, theaters were booming.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah, this is when things were, like, popping.
I just do not see how he's going to, man. I do not see it.
The movie's not going to see a profit for quite some time.
If it sees one.
He's going to keep this movie in the theaters for, like, life.
Yeah.
Because definitely, right now, the top grossing movie of 2022 was Top Gun Maverick at $1.4 billion.
and that was a really good one. And like one that like had like had the givings to be like a really like high box office hit.
Yep. Jurassic World Dominion was number two at a billion. And Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was just shy of that. So if anything, he might be able to pull a billion. I just do not see the second Avatar movie being as big as Top Gun Maverick was.
I see it being bigger.
Are people rushing out to see the new Avatar movie? Are people like excited for that?
Dude, you're forgetting how big the first film is.
It was the first. We had never seen anything like that. It was blue people in a blue world. That was Pocahontas. And
I don't know, man. I mean, people are still obsessed with the film franchise, so I do think it'll be hyped. But I don't think it'll make anywhere near the 2 billion it needs to right off the rip. I mean, it's going to take some time for it to reach that number, but I think it will reach it. It's just going to take time.
All right, so let's do a uninformed gamer's bet.
Okay, I will bet.
Hold on, let me put something on the table. Let's just do first box office weekend. Weekend box office. So the highest grossing movie of this year was Top Gun Maverick, okay? So the film opened with $126.7 million in sales.
Okay.
Do you think, and Chris, I want your opinion on this too before we finish up the episode. Do you think Avatar, the sequel, what is it, the Shape of Pandora, something Pandora?
It was like, what is it?
Avatar the Way of Water, my apologies.
Yeah, Way of Water.
Do you think Avatar The Way of Water is going to surpass $126.7 million in sales, or is it going to fall short?
Short.
Short? Okay.
Yep.
Mason, what about you?
You know my vote. Surpass.
I'm going to sit on the side of Chris and say I think it's going to fall short, but you heard it here first on the Uninformed Gamers.
Yep.
We will tune back. I have zero desire to see this film. But to help Mason out, if I have the opportunity to see him on the weekend, I will go check it out.
I will not see this in theater. You want to know why? Because it's over 3 hours long.
Yeah, no,
wait. What's the runtime?
It's 3 hours and 10 minutes long,
oh,
dude.
Oh, fuck no. I'm not. I'm good.
I am not seeing this in theater.
Like Black Panther Wakanda Forever was 2 hours and 41 minutes. And I was like, man, this movie is 20 minutes too long.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I learned my lesson after Endgame, dude.
Yeah.
I watched that from home.
Because I saw Endgame in theater and I held my pee, dude. My bladder was like yelling at me.
Oh, hell, I watched that RRR movie you suggested in three days.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope I do hope the new Avatar film does release on streaming, but I know James Cameron does not like streaming at all because he believes that it detracts from the theater experience, which I agree with. I do agree that it does subtract, but at the same token, like, it's hard for a person to sit and watch something continuously with no breaks for over 3 hours.
Agreed.
And on that note, thank you so much all for joining us for this episode of the Uninformed Gamers. If you like what we do here, you can find us at the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. If you want to play with me directly, you can play with me on Xbox at Darkness Tiger or on PlayStation at Darkness Tiger 2. We always love some feedback, so feel free to reach out to me in any capacity and just let us know your thoughts. All right, guys, go ahead and do your sign-offs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. And eventually one day I'll get back to streaming, I swear.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. Like, it's hard. I don't know how full-time streamers do it.
It's your full-time job.
True. They have to.
All right.
But I have been Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. And you can find me on my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review, as well as Twitch, Rad_Dreams, if I do decide to stream again, like Chris said.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. Bye.
Later.
Peace.